Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and the end result of his being exonerated and being found not guilty on all 5 charges. We're talking about it today in view of the doctrine of self-defense being on trial. Kyle Rittenhouse himself, in his interview with Tucker Carlson that was aired for the first time last evening, he said that the trial was not about Kyle Rittenhouse, but it was about the right of self-defense. Self-defense was on trial. Just before the break, we had Danny on the line. Danny, go ahead with your further follow-up questions to what the congressman just said.
Okay. Every morning, sir, you open your program with the truth will set you free.
Right.
And you challenge the listeners that it may come to the time when our lives may be on the line to stand for the truth. We're seeing across this nation the greatest movement of truth desire. People are demanding the truth no matter how they get it. They've seen the ultimate in censorship by the elimination of Trump's reelection. And, Mike, I challenge the people. Live the truth, such as Dr. Youngblood does, because the truth is all we have left. And if we can't get it out in the masses, then we can get it out in the few and let it be repeated throughout the land. So the Oath Act would be a means. Sure, the liberals have abused everything positive in this nation. That's why they're in the position they're in today. But in trusting in God and God alone, in his promise that he's made to us as his people, we have a chance to turn the tide for whatever time frame he allows us to. Okay.
Danny, I agree important. With you. I'm going to let the congressman respond to that.
I would simply say amen. I agree with you 100%, Danny. You're right on target.
And one of the things, Danny, I might add a little footnote to that. We find it necessary many times to say that we need to recall an elected official. That is possible only if we have laws for recalling that's designed by other than the legislators themselves that do not want to be recalled. And understand,
that's right,
as Congressman Hill pointed out just a moment ago, that we have so many on the left that's going to misuse anything that's had. But one of the things that we find in the state of Florida, and Congressman, you might want to respond to this, in the state of Florida, when you're sworn into office, you are sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Florida and the laws therein. Now, they just added the term "and the laws therein" just a few years ago. In fact, one of my sons was being sworn in for an elected position at the time, and he, prior to the actual swearing-in ceremony, challenged that fact that you're swearing to uphold the laws of the state, and sometimes these laws are contradicting the Constitution of the state and or of the United States. How do you respond to that thought?
No, I agree 100%, Dr. Youngblood. I know when I was sworn in, and the state oath that I had to take said that I solemnly swear to support and defend the U.S. Constitution and its government. and that of the state of Florida. And I objected to that. I said, I can swear that I'll support and defend the Constitution, but not the government, because the government can be so wrong. And I told the clerk of court that I was not going to say that part. And he says, Mike, you have to say the oath in order to occupy your seat. And I told him, I'm not going to. He then did some research and sent it to me. That oath of office was changed shortly after the Civil War. And that statement added to support the U.S. Constitution and its government was inserted for the Confederate states. In other words, they were trying to make sure that there was not going to be another rebellion. So when it came time for me to say my oath of office, I'll admit, I said when it came to the part and his government, I mumbled through it because I could not in good conscience say that I was going to solemnly support a government that can be so corrupt, particularly if you look at the Biden regime right now. There's no way I could support that. So I agree with your son when he says, and its laws, the laws can be unconstitutional if they're not challenged properly in the court, and if the court doesn't uphold that they're unconstitutional. So I agree that should be removed in my mind.
Yes, I fully agree with that. Danny, thank you so much for your call. I pray that you'll have a great day and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And may I say to you, we'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. I'm offering today a free book. The book's entitled The Doctrine of Self-Defense. It's a very brief book, but it points out the fact that our right to keep and bear arms was codified in the scripture given to us by God. It was confirmed in the courts to be carried out by we the people. And that's exactly what Kyle Rittenhouse did. And as a result of that, I believe they had a very wise jury, and that jury made the decision that he's not guilty on all charges. Congressman, we're talking with today Congressman Mike Hill, the former legislator, representative for District 1 in the state of Florida. And Congressman, let me ask you another question. I would like to work our way through this Kyle Rittenhouse scenario and his trial. Congressman, is Kyle Rittenhouse, we asked the question, is he a white supremacist? You said no. Should he continue to be demeaned, and what should be his recourse against the media that continues to call him a murderer, a white supremacist, an anarchist, et cetera, et cetera? How should he respond to that? Should he just continue to ignore it, or does he have any recourse?
I believe he has recourse there, Dr. Youngblood, for defamation of character. He's been slandered, he's been libeled, and there are laws against that. And I think that he should bring lawsuit against the mainstream media, those on the left, from particularly those in office, some congressional people who continue to call him that when a judge, who I believe was very fair, laid out the rules for that trial. The jury looked at all the evidence. It was a jury of his peers, and they found him to be not guilty. That is how our judicial system is supposed to work. And when they found him not guilty, that should have been the end of it. For them to continue calling him names and defaming his character, I believe he has a legal right to bring a lawsuit, legal justification, against those who continue to defame his character.
Absolutely. And Congressman Hill, you've seen the video, as I have and others, of the events that took place on that evening. Did Kyle Rittenhouse take his AR-15 and walk down the street, start searching for people that he could shoot? Did he go down the did he go to Kenosha with the idea that I'm going out there and I'm going to kill me some people? Was that his motive? Why was he in Kenosha at that moment? And did he flee from those that were trying to kill him, or did he stand and try to find somebody to shoot? What is the real story?
Yes, we've all seen those videos now, Dr. Youngblood. He was in Kenosha because he was asked to be there to help protect a car dealership from those who have demonstrated that they were going to cause damage and mayhem. So he was there and was there earlier in the day cleaning up graffiti that had been spray painted on various buildings and so forth. He was there for a good reason, a good cause. He was then attacked, and he was chased. He was hit with a skateboard, and those things are strong enough to break a window in a car. So he was hit twice with that skateboard. He was chased by the other individual, a very large man, who tried to take his weapon from him and said, shoot me, daring him to. His total actions were in self-defense. It wasn't like he was running down the street looking for somebody to execute, as they keep saying on the left. Instead, it was a clear-cut case of self-defense, which is justifiable not only legally, but morally. As you stated at the beginning of the show, Dr. Youngblood, that we have a godly right to defend ourselves. The law codified it, but it is an inalienable, God-given right to defend ourselves and our property from those who want to rob us of it.
Yes, in fact, it was George Washington that made the statement, firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance, that are the people's liberty teeth. Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Samuel Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own firearms, end quote. Congressman, hold on for just a moment. I believe we have Greg on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
I have just moments, but it is a pleasure to be on the air with the author of the book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense. Thank you. Appreciate that, Dad. The reality is, though we have this absolute, not implicit, but explicit right to self-defense, justice in America is on the ropes. And it's not on the ropes because of our jury system. Our jury system is one of the finest systems on the face of the planet. It has survived great trials and tribulations. However, those folks that enforce our laws, those folks that prosecute on behalf of the state or on behalf of the federal system, have run amok. We've begun to call good evil, and evil we call good. In this particular case, you have three criminals that each one – I'm not talking about just the criminal act of assaulting Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm talking about the criminal acts that preceded that. The last assailant that had the pistol in his hand, that man apparently was a felon in unlawful possession. That means he should have been charged for the unlawful possession. Listen, every day the left wants to add more gun laws. Do you understand that? Every day they want to make it harder and harder for an honest, hardworking, non-criminal American citizen to own and to possess a firearm. However, this fellow that was apparently unlawfully in possession, they didn't bring the charge because the state wanted to make him their star witness. At least that's what seemed to come out. And furthermore, in the way of justice being perverted, evidence was withheld in this case all the way up to the moment of trial. Do you understand? I mean, even the video evidence that the FBI had was turned over very late in the game. An additional charge was on the sixth charge in the indictment. I believe the sixth charge in the indictment was a firearms charge that had to be thrown out by the judge at the last moment. That charge should have never been made, but all of the preceding charges should have never been made. When you have a clear case of self-defense and you're the prosecuting attorney that's making the filing decision on the case, and you bring the case knowing that you don't have a case, and listen, I had tons of folks that told me, I'll let justice play out. You know, justice will be done in the end. No, justice, when you know that a person has not committed a criminal act, justice demands that you not make a filing decision to put that person on trial. In this case, put a person on trial for their very life when you know that they did not commit a criminal act. And then to be the prosecution's job is not to put somebody in jail. The prosecution's job is not to make somebody guilty. The prosecution's job is to pursue justice. And justice in this case would have mandated that Kyle Rittenhouse never be charged. It was not a not guilty verdict at the end that was justice. Justice should have been no charge. We saw a similar case, by the way, the withholding of the evidence by the prosecution is similar to what we saw in the Zimmerman case with Trayvon Martin. You understand that evidence was withheld by the prosecution you know, no offense, John Guy and Bernie Belarondo, but prosecution withheld evidence that was part of the digital record on Trayvon Martin's cell phone. And literally, the courts had to scold, you know, defense had to pursue, from my recollection, that evidence. Somebody let it leak out. I understand that somebody in the state attorney's office was fired. Y'all can go back and look at the record on this. But it's interesting that some of these attorneys believe that their job is to get a conviction. I know it's an adversarial system, folks, and on the civil side, hey, you know, each side fights really, really hard, and the winner at the end of the day is the one that the judge or the jury says, hey, you win. But if you're an innocent person and you get arrested and put on trial for your life, and you expend $100,000, $200,000, $500,000, $1 million to defend your life, where do you get your money back? Where does Kyle Rittenhouse get his good name back? Where does Kyle Rittenhouse get the last year and a half of his life back? He will always be looking over his shoulder the rest of his life because of this case that should never have been. Literally, you have folks today, based on the mainstream media and the lies of groups like CNN and MSNBC, the lies have made this boy out to be a white supremacist. I mean, even Joe Biden, the resident in chief, you know, that moron literally referenced Kyle Rittenhouse as a white supremacist. Do you know what the inflammatory nature of that will have this boy at risk for his life every time he goes outside? That is the most the fact that the civil cases should stack up, in my opinion, against every single person that lied about this boy. And boy, the libel, the slander that came out of the publications and the broadcast, it's the worst kind of evil. And again, we have begun to call evil good, and good we're calling evil. But that's my 2 cents worth for the day. But I'll say this in closure. This was not justice. Justice would have been if Kyle Rittenhouse had never been arrested, had never been charged.
Absolutely. Well stated, Greg. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons, and I'm thankful for his insight on that. And so thank you so much for taking time to call in today. Congressman, how do you respond to Greg's proficiency in his statement, what was said?
He was spot on. Greg, thank you so much for calling in. You reiterated what I had said previously, that he should not have even been charged. And you said it so eloquently, much better than I did, that justice would have been if charges had never been brought against him because he did not commit a crime. It was a corrupt leftist district attorney and prosecutors who brought this against him simply because they were doing it for political reasons only. They wanted to make this statement, a political statement, that we are going to put a stop to white supremacy, at least in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which did not exist. It was a false premise in the first place. And so you made an excellent point. You know, this cost him not only time in jail, which he cannot recover, but also $1 million just for his bond that had to be paid to the state. It wasn't paid to another individual. It was given to the state, the government, who illegally, in my mind, arrested him and charged him in the first place.
Absolutely. Congressman, I'm looking at an article, and this is the root of the problem. Anytime there's a case of self-defense that they want to twist, when I use the term they, I'm talking about the socialist Marxist left and the communist media. Kathy Hochul, Bill de Blasio, Eric Adams condemned the verdict. This is not justice, CBS New York News stated. Let me just read you a couple of brief paragraphs. Prominent New York elected officials are among those coming down against the verdict of Kyle Rittenhouse's trial. Rittenhouse was acquitted on all charges Friday after his trial for shooting three people, killing two of them in Kenosha, Wisconsin last year. Quote, Kyle Rittenhouse used an assault weapon to kill two people. This is not justice, Governor Kathy Hochul wrote on Twitter. If there was any questions about why we need strong gun safety laws, this is your answer. This should never have been allowed to happen in the first place. We have to do a lot of work on this. Quote, this verdict is disgusting. It sends a horrible message throughout our country. Where's the justice in this? Bill de Blasio wrote. quote, we can't let this go any further. We need stronger laws to stop all violent extremism from within our own nation. Now, this is the time, wrote de Blasio. Further, the statement says, this decision is an indictment of irresponsible laws that make our society more violent and unsafe under the guise of personal freedom and so-called self-defense, and also sends an extremely dangerous message to those in this, our country, who seek agendas of anarchy, often born in prejudice and ignorance, to wreak havoc in their communities and potentially murder their neighbors. We should not be shocked. We should be focused on swift and righteous action, Mayor-elect Eric Adams said in a statement. While the verdict in Kenosha will leave many Americans feeling angry and concerned, myself included, he wrote. That's Joe Biden's statement finally there. The point is, all of these people that made those statements are advocates of gun control, advocates including Joe Biden, where Joe Biden says there's nothing absolute found in our Bill of Rights. So we are finding that these people that pressed the charges were doing so to use it as a prima facie example of the need to eradicate, to eliminate, to in some way undermine the right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment in our Constitution. Congressman, I've got an article that I want you to respond to. There's a Facebook post. I don't do Facebook. My bride does. And it's a great summary about the Rittenhouse trial. And I find it fascinating. Quote, I've got about 5 or 6 points. I have watched the whole Rittenhouse case, the jury's deliberation. Quote, I didn't know that Kyle put out a dumpster fire while being rolled down to the gas station to blow it up. Will the people around me ever know? I didn't know that the police were told to stand down as businesses were being destroyed. I didn't know that Kyle's dad, grandma, and friends all lived in Kenosha, 20 minutes from where he resided with his mother, part-time in Illinois. I didn't know that Joseph Rosenbaum knocked him down twice and then attempted to kick him with lethal force to the head. I didn't know that Huber had hit him in the head 2 times with the skateboard. I didn't know that the other individual, a felon in possession of a firearm, aimed his gun at Kyle first, and he admitted so on the stand. I also didn't know that the state of Wisconsin is legal for Kyle to have a gun even at the age of 17, end quote. I didn't know that Kyle was did not cross state lines with the gun he wasn't supposed to have. The rightful gun owner did, and he was legally permitted to do so. I didn't realize that Rosenbaum was a 5-time convicted child rapist and Huber was a 2-time convicted woman beater. I didn't know that the other convicted burglar was a convicted burglar with an assault on his record also. The media did, and their job was to tell us, and they did not. How do you respond to that? What I'm saying is, Congressman, to kind of trickle down with a question, how is the public supposed to know? As this writer on Facebook said, all of these things that came out in the trial, he didn't know. He thought that Kyle may have been guilty until those things were brought out. What do we say about a biased system of media today? How should we respond as Christians and conservatives?
First of all, we should respond with indignation, knowing that they intentionally kept that away from us so that they could build their own narrative with the goal of gun control, which is utter nonsense. When you think about it, Dr. Youngblood, we see those places where guns have been removed, such as the United Kingdom, that does not remove crime. We see that now crime is being committed with knives or other weapons, with clubs, that guns are simply a way of one way of criminals committing a crime, but also a way for you to protect yourself is with those guns. It is not the inanimate object itself, the gun, knife, club, or whatever, that is causing the crimes. It is the criminals that are causing the crimes. It is a condition of man's sinful heart. And instead of attacking guns and saying that you can't possess them, instead we should be addressing the issue of sin itself. I'm so thankful that Kyle Rittenhouse was able to carry a weapon to protect and defend himself. You can't do that here in Florida. He was open carry. We need to do that here in Florida also.
Yes, I'm in full agreement with that. I'm looking at an article that's written by Pat Buchanan. Those that know Buchanan know him as a conservative. He says, Kyle Rittenhouse is both righteous and right. Both righteous and right. And he goes on to summarize the case and what took place there with the trial and his ultimate being vindicated. I'm looking at another article. Congressman, self-defense is not illegal. We made it through the hard part, Rittenhouse speaks, after the not guilty verdict. And simply, he says, this is on the 20th of November. Self-defense is not illegal, the 18-year-old Cal Rittenhouse asserted Friday after he was acquitted on all charges against him related to the deadly riot in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The teenager appearing in a clip for a documentary from Fox News, Tucker Carlson, can be seen in the back of a vehicle speaking to a cameraman following the reading of his not guilty verdict. Quote, the jury reached the right verdict, he said. Self-defense is not illegal, and I believe they came to correct, they came to with the correct verdict, and I'm glad that everything went well. It's been rough, a rough journey, but we made it through, Rittenhouse said. We made it through the hard part. And during the course of the interview with Tucker Carlson last evening, Kyle Rittenhouse, when asked, would you do that again? He said, if I'd known in advance what was going to happen, no. But he said, all of this is out of our hands. It's in a power above us, referring to God, and there's nothing that I could do other than tell the truth. And he stood for truth, stood on the truth, and told the truth. And I watched that trial, and I commend him for that. Congressman Hill, we've got about 45 seconds left on the broadcast. I'd like for you to give a verbal charge to our listeners as conservatives and as Christians of how we should respond, what we should do, and how we should view this case in view of the wickedness in society today.
I would say, Dr. Youngblood, that we should be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, because the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Do not be milquetoast Christians sitting back cowering. Stand up and be strong.
Amen. Thank you so much, Congressman Hill, for taking time to be with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.